Hey, they call me the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. Hit on the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor. I made tack tongue with a sensitive taster. I was born out in Texas, called the land of beef. Never catch a muscle greener, showing the hell that like a meat. I'm the meat man.
You're listening to The Best Barbecue Show, the show where we talk, taste, and even try to cook. The best barbecue in Texas was the best barbecue in the world. It's the end of the Houston barbecue. I'm here with Joey Victorian. How's it going?
Exhausted. Tired.
Stover's on the mic.
We are all tired. You can see everyone's eyes here. Everyone's full. Everyone's been up all day, all night.
We partied last night. We partied all day.
Yeah.
Did everyone get enough barbecue?
I think we all got enough barbecue.
Yeah. Everyone had their fair share of it.
And so you got any highlights? Anything you're looking forward to next year?
Coming back. Hopefully they'll invite me back. It'll be all good, and we'll get to tell everybody about our new place.
Brick and mortar 2019, yeah. Baby.
That's it.
Where's it at?
It's going to be it's in the east end of Houston. It'll be 19 North York Street.
What? Isn't there a name for that area?
East End, and then there's also Edo.
Edo, but, that's it.
But they're rivals.
So they
tend to say, no, we're Edo and we're East End, I guess.
How many people do you think you served today, total?
We served probably about 1,200.
Holy moly.
1,200 of those boats. We definitely went through 1,200 of them.
Jeez.
That's amazing. Well, that's way more than they budgeted probably, huh? Everyone seemed to overspend what they the stipend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We spend a lot more than... than what was given, but that's part of it. You know?
That's part of the fun, and that's the generous barbecue fam.
Yeah, but what we get back from it later on down the line is priceless.
Yeah.
So
a lot of happy faces out there today too. You saw. I saw a lot of smiles.
People are so excited. They bring trays and they go to 10 places at once, and then they sit down and eat them.
Yeah. At first, when I first started doing them, I thought that you bought a tray.
I don't know.
People bring trays.
Yeah.
They're all swords too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everyone had their own unique tray. There's like clear ones, glass ones.
Yeah, some people had like the lunch trays, and then a bunch of people just had, you know, just a giant aluminum like cooking pan. They just filled with barbecue.
Right.
Some of them even filled them up and closed them and took them home.
Next time I do one, I want to get one of those old McDonald trays, the metal ones.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to bring. I might even have those at my restaurant.
That's awesome.
That'd be cool, huh?
I'm just going to bring a plastic bag from Safeway and fill it up with meat.
You got all kinds of plans now because you got a whole building to deal with.
It's going
to
be real now.
Where are you going to park that 1,000-gallon pit?
It'll be under. There's a carport that's there already.
So it'll fit?
Yeah, it'll fit.
Dang.
Well, I mean, it won't fit with it on the trailer. It's going to have to come off.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just bolted down on there.
They'll be looking good, though. You got to get someone to like pinstripe it for you or something.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Do you know Yoni was just drinking out of a giant jug that Blood Brothers gave to him?
Yeah. Soju, dude. Soju
mixed with coffee. That thing was the size of your head.
He tried offering me some. I was like, nope.
I drank some less. It's not that strong. That's soju.
I'll just pass.
Well, it's been a great day. We had a lot of fun. We sat down with Hoodoo Brown. We're going to put that on the episode. And, Joey, you got anything for the meat men or just people who are... around Houston, ready to eat some barbecue?
Go out and smoke something.
Yeah.
Smoke it, eat it, love it.
Live it.
That's it.
Hoo-da-hoo!
We out.
My name is Chris Sexton. I'm from Hoodoo Brown Barbecue, and we're down at the Houston BBQ Festival in Humble, Texas.
Nice. So what brings you guys down all the way to Houston?
So I wanted to come down to this event. There's a lot of great events down in Texas. This, Red Dirt, Texas Monthly. But I've been trying to get to Houston for a long time. We've got a lot of great places around here, and you know, we're trying to think. We're from Connecticut, so we're a little bit on this island of ourselves, kind of doing our thing and doing, you know, being well received. But Houston has this whole, you know, barbecue community, and it's something that we're super jealous of, and we want to get involved with it.
Yeah. So you guys are. There's really nothing up there in Connecticut, huh?
Yeah, there's some good places, but nothing, you know, nothing like here where every place there's in within 40 minutes there's a world class barbecue place, and we're excited to kind of come out and check it out. So we got here Thursday, straight from the airplane. We went to Pinkerton's and had a meal for 10 for two of us, and we woke up early on Friday, and I went to the new Figus Barbecue. It's down the guy Patrick's one of the the nicest, most creative people in barbecue, and him and his wife are doing something special. So we were excited to get there. They opened like just like end of March.
Yeah.
And so it was
soft open.
There, we get there. We're going all over, and it was just so many places. And every place we go to, everyone was so nice, and it was cool. The community aspect of it was something you can't put on paper, but you gotta, you know, that's what makes Texas barbecue, especially Houston barbecue, a little bit different. And that's what this event, with the guy Michael Fulmer put together with his, you know, with his comrades and stuff, is really exceptional. I think everyone down here is having a great time, so we're happy to do it.
Yeah, and you know, we talked to Grant Pinkerton yesterday, yep. And he said, even though it's one of the largest cities in the world, it's also a small town when you get into the barbecue.
No, every time I talk to someone and I say, hey, oh, we went to this place, I was like, oh, that's my neighborhood barbecue place. I was like, so you got neighborhood barbecue place and you got your seat, but it's like, oh, that's the place I go to on the corner. And then I go to all this other place I like, which is like, for us, we're in Connecticut. We're smack dab. We're right between the two biggest highways in Connecticut, 84 and 95. And so we draw people in from Connecticut. We're nice. It's like, oh, you're easy to get to from the highway. These guys are, you're easy to get to from my block. So it's a little different.
We always talk about how we're spoiled. We forget sometimes after being in Austin for so long that how easy it is just to go from one barbecue to another. There's days where we will like list 10 places like, what do we want today?
Yeah, right.
And it's only a 5-minute, 10-minute drive.
Yeah, so it's cool. I mean, there's so much down here. And then you just I keep wanting more. And luckily, we had this coming up on Sunday. So it was like, you know, I go to this place, I go to Patrick's, and he's there for lunch. They're only doing lunch service. And I talked to him for like an hour, and I'm like, all right, well, now the next place is a little backed up, but I wouldn't trade that time talking to him, talking about his visions and everything. And it's like, that was so cool. And I was like, I'll try everything here. And I can tell you, we've been here for a couple hours, whatever time it is. I've tried everything. I am stuffed. But everybody, and it's like, what's your favorite thing? I was like, I can't even tell you something. There's nothing I had today that I was like, you should skip that person. I mean, everyone's doing unique stuff. I think that's too. I think this is the third or fourth year of this festival. And I think people have found their groove where it's like a thing. Everyone's like, everyone did beef the first year, but now they're like, hey, what else can we do to show what we're about? And I think that's what is special about events like this.
There's some boudin. There's pork cracklins, boudin. There's all sorts of fun stuff here. It's not just a big row of brisket.
Yeah,
people are bringing their A game.
They're trying something. I respect, because we've done the same festival circuits up by us, and you know, doing our brisket for sure up by there is standalone. It's really good, and we can go to any event with the brisket and be sorry. But it's like, what else can we do to kind of separate ourselves and teach people about, you know, tell the story of Hoodoo Brown through one tasting plate? And I've tried a lot of these places in here, and you can tell a whole story with what they're putting in. You know, you go to Tejas, they got this beautiful brisket, and they've got the chocolate panna cotta, the carrot souffle. You're like, oh, that is not like, you know, that's not what you're getting anywhere else, and that tells truth to what they're doing. I mean, it's really cool. So,
well, speaking of y'all's story, you guys are killing it on Instagram. You got cow heads and stacks of bones.
Yep.
And is that all you, or are you guys?
Yeah, so I do all our social media. My partner Cody, I mean, he's the brains. He's the man behind all the barbecue, and he makes my job of putting it out there to the people a lot easier because the food looks exceptional. But we try to just tell a story with that, and we've definitely kind of, this is what I come down here, and like, you know, I meet you guys, you're like, oh yeah, we know you from Instagram. Even though you're from Connecticut, we know your platters, and we know, you know, the bone towers or the videos of the whole hogs. Somebody comes out, oh, I thought you guys just did whole hogs. It's like, no, it's mostly for events. It's like, because I see those event pictures, they go viral. And Instagram's been a cool tool for us to also meet a lot of people down here. You know, so when I was coming down, I was like, let me see who I know from Houston. And then you just reach out and say, hey, we're coming down. Like, you got to come check us out. You got to try this. You got to come out. So the thing that I've told, because everyone that asked me, you know, you got 75,000 followers, like, that's crazy. Like, not just, you know, your food looks really good. I can't vouch for it. I haven't tasted it, but it looks good. It is good. But like, how do you do this? And I was like, the key that people don't understand just about social media is the social aspect of it. Like, you can put out good media. You can put out the prettiest pictures of all time every day. You know, like Robert Jacob Lerma, the greatest be a photographer, food photographer I've ever seen in my life. We have more followers than him, and it's an atrocity. I told him that when he came out to the restaurant. I was like, you post the prettiest things I've ever seen in my life, and we have more followers. But the key is the social.
Yeah.
It's like when we post these platter pictures of people come, I was putting a shirt for this, our shirt, or I came down here, I stocked up on shirts so I can promote, you know, our friends, anyone, like any guy in the business, so they can do it. And they come, they tag, and then because they love our Instagram, when people come, they post their stuff. And then I comment on them and say, hey, I appreciate it, love the platters, loves us really good. And we kind of go from there. You got to engage, because that's the best part of what people are trying to do, the social aspect. They want to tell your story. They want to be involved, and that's what we want to do. You know,
it makes it fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the other part of it is, you know, there's some times where, you know, we've been doing it. We're almost 3 years. We're closing in our three-year anniversary.
Nice.
Which, you know, they always give you those, like, 50% of restaurants fail in the first year, 75, 2 years, 95, 3 years. So it's like when you get those milestones, good. But also makes you think, it's like, wow, we've been just head down trying to get through. So the social media is like, what can we do today? What are we doing differently today that we can try to post about? What video, you know, what idea for a t-shirt? What do we, you know, it keeps you sane. It keeps you thinking about it. So
when we talk about it all the time, you know, don't just lurk.
Yeah.
Comment, talk to people who comment on your stuff, and take pictures with people. I mean, between the two of us, we've run into over a dozen people that just follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're so happy to meet us. I've taken pictures. We took pictures with people. If you're just sitting in a corner on Instagram, no one's going to talk to you. You got to get out and get on the dance floor.
Yeah, and the key, seriously, I've met a lot of people down here which is where, when I'm in Connecticut, I usually knew everybody. Especially we're a small town. I used to be the guy, I was super personable. I was like, I knew you more than you knew me. I knew your name, I knew your story. But now, because like of social media, and I'm like now mildly, regionally internet famous, people come up and they're like, hey, you're Chris from Hooter Brown. And I'm like, man, it used to be like if I didn't know you, they were friends with my mom, or they're like, they work with my sister. But now it's like I have no idea how I know these people. They're like, hey, we were at the restaurant on Sunday. It was so good. I was like, oh, okay, cool. But I had people down here. I was like, hey, man, we really love your stuff. And I was like, I know you're from Connecticut. I was like, okay, I thought you like, you know, you're just giving me. You see my Hooter Brown shirt, and they're like giving me the, hey, we tried your stuff. It was really good, but. It's really cool, but the community down here, everyone down here is the nicest people. I mean, there's no riot. You would think in a festival like this, so there's 27 restaurants here. And I was talking to my coworker. I was like, they're all friends. I'm like, maybe there's someone that everyone doesn't like, but I can't figure out who, because I'm looking around and there's nothing. Everyone's just saying, speaking super highly, oh, did you try that? You got to try that. Oh, no, I haven't been there. You got to go try there. So, and last night we came down here to meet some friends, and everyone's just, they're cooking to eat dinner. You know, they're not cooking for competition. They're not cooking for tomorrow. They're just like, hey, I'm going to make some food because I know people will eat it. And then they're just, you know, involved. So the community aspect of barbecue is, you know, because that's the other portion that we always talk about at Hoodoo is, you know, barbecue is like a synonym for a party, you know, right? You don't go to a pasta cook, or you don't go to you go to a barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, that's a part, you know, it's the only food that's also a party, like, you know, synonym. So,
well, and everyone likes to watch a cook. Everyone likes to sit there salivating, waiting for someone to slice the brisket or whatever's next.
I mean, the barbecue pit is like the modern campfire, you know, from old times. You want to stand around the fire and talk. It's the outdoor water cooler, if you will. You know, it's where people spend their time. So we do parties, like we do these whole hogs, and you try to sell it to someone. They're like, no, I've seen the video. I like it. I was like, I'll tell you, you will get way more out of this event when you have the grill there than you will if we just bring the food in and taste this is good, because everyone wants to look at it. Everyone wants to see it. The people know you gotta, you know, you may have to answer the same 20 questions of what kind of wood do you use and how long and what temperature you cook it. But I would gladly answer those questions 100 times, because what that is, we call those like icebreaker questions. The guy just wants to hang out.
Yeah.
And he's like, if I ask what kind of wood they use, maybe I can stick around long enough to just, you know, to make a friend. So I always see that as like, You know, it's just like somebody talking about the weather. It's like if they come over and they ask you what kind of wood you're using or what temperature you're cooking, it's not that they're going to go out and bring that wood and that temperature to their next cook. They just want to learn more about you. So whatever you can do is awesome.
Well, and, you know, we're pretty strong believers that you could tell everyone everything you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't mean they can cook it as good as you.
Yeah, I saw someone who's like, there's no secrets. You know, they're like, there's no reason to keep a secret. Everyone's recipe is right out there, you know. What are you going to do? I could tell you exactly. We're going to cook our brisket at 250. Here's our rub. Here's the type of brisket we use. Here's the type of grill we use. And my brisket's going to be different than yours 10 times out of 10. And it's just about the touch and the feel, the guy cooking it. So we're happy. There are no secrets in barbecue. There shouldn't be. We want to kind of do what you can do to kind of teach and learn. And I'd rather bring that people and let them learn and, you know, breed that barbecue community as much as you can, especially being where we are in Connecticut. When we first started opening, which was 3 years ago, we were on island. We tried to teach people about the authenticity of barbecue. We're selling out of barbecue. What's that about? What, you know, I don't know how many Yelp reviews we still have up that say what kind of barbecue place runs out of ribs. And it's like, well, I mean, like, you got to learn that there's a certain reason we're running out is because you can only fit so much on the smoker. There's only so much time. And they're like, I didn't mean to talk algebra. I don't need to know geometry plus time plus, you know, X plus Y plus Z. It was like, I'm just telling you what we can do. And now after 3 years, our customers understand it. They're in for the authenticity and anything. But it takes a little while to get your story out there. So that's always key to us, telling a story with your barbecue.
Speaking of, what do you cook on up there?
We cook on, we have two Lang 108 smokers.
Huge.
We have we started with one, was not enough. So we got an 84 inch, it was not enough. We got it, so we bought another 108. We stumbled across it in our travels up in Connecticut, it was great. So we got two 108s and the 84. And then we do, when we do whole hogs, we do it on a BQ grill with, like, you know, burn barrel and all. So those are great. So like on a Sunday, we've got all the smokers going. We're doing whole hogs at the restaurant, or if we don't have one for a party that weekend. And we're just trying to cook as much food as we can and serve it up. We're doing, you know, we got like dine-in service with waiters and waitresses and a full bar and some of the best desserts anywhere, and out, you know, not just barbecue, which I did. I was surprised at a lot of desserts down here. Some of the stuff's really good. So it was good because we've been proud of our desserts for a while. It's nice to see other people putting up some good stuff.
So do you still have all those Langs?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
We still cook on all of them. There's, like, we don't have to cook all of them on Tuesday, but come Saturday, they're all being used basically 24 hours a day. We let it cool down just a minute to swap the load, but
and
everything
else. Are you sourcing wood from Connecticut? Or?
Yeah. We can't bring in Connecticut wood from outside of Connecticut due to Connecticut laws. So we're getting the best oak we can get. And,
nice.
It's good.
We had a bunch of pitmasters running wood across borders for a while, and we were like, uh-oh.
I don't blame them, because it'd be nice. But what happens is all of a sudden, we're the guys who are buying four cords a week in the dead of summer. So that gives us a little more credit come wintertime when everyone wants wood. It's like, no. You know, there's snow on the ground. Everyone calls up to get wood. We're the guy who's like, yeah, we're buying four cords a week every week.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, if you want to be our wood supplier and we're buying whatever $1,000 worth of wood a week, you got to be there every single week. So we've got it now after 3 years.
And do they like put it on racks, or they just dump it in the yard?
Yeah, they'll stack it for us, these guys.
Nice.
So they've become a good business for us, and I think we're good business for them. So one hand washes the other, and both, you know, everybody's clean.
So tell us more about Connecticut barbecue. Is there anything that you noticed that I know it sounds like that? You know, even in Houston, I've been at places in Houston where people get mad when they're out of something.
Yeah.
And the idea, you know, we've got friends that cook in L.A. and they're cooking Texas style, and people don't understand, like, eating it off a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Were there other hurdles or things you had to kind of adjust to for Connecticut?
Yeah, I think there's stuff that's just, like, it's hard to present, because you just, like, the order by the half tray, not getting individual plates was tough to confuse, because we platter everything. So we want to serve you all family style, because that's the best. That's where I think the tables have the most success. When you, like, everyone gets, you know, the meat combo, or it's like the meat and two sides or two meats and a side, you can have your own isolated experience, and I don't think it's that great. I mean, you can have really good barbecue that way, But I think when you get a big platter in the middle and you put it in front of the table and it forces conversation you weren't meant to have, you know, like you're just sitting with your family of five and you got a plate of a whole different types of meats. It's like, did you try this pork belly? Did you try the brisket? You know, give me a piece of that brisket, pass the potato salad, pass this. And by doing that simple aspect, that spurns conversation and you have people that are really engaged in enjoying the meal, and it gives them a different dining experience. So I think, you know, teaching them the family style, now they see the platters on the Instagram and they understand it more. But that was the thing, because people just expect, they're like, I want a half pound of brisket and a potato salad. And they're like, I want a half pound of brisket and a mac and cheese. It's like, okay, we're just going to give you 3 pounds of brisket, a couple shareable sides, put it in the middle, and everyone eats, everyone's happy. So that took some time.
That's what we love about going to places like Truth or other. Like, yeah. It's a communal thing.
Yeah.
And like you said, barbecue means party to a lot of people. I mean, that's how you eat at a party. You line up, you talk about the food, you eat it slowly, you try little bits from other people's stuff. It's great to be able to share food.
Yeah. And I think food in general, I don't know if this is more recent, but food is art to some people. Food is life to some people. It's not just something to eat because you're hungry. It's some people's greatest hobby. It's some people's greatest, you know, going out to eat with friends is based. Sometimes it's the only thing people do socially. So when you can get in, and we love the big event, you know, so if it's your birth, you know, we blow you out. If it's your birthday and you come to Hooter Brown and you let us know it's a birthday, that's so big to me, because we got a dinner bell, Chris Pietro from Prime BBQ, he gave us a bell when we opened. We ring that bell and do this big shout and scream for your birthday every time, because if you chose to come to us for your birthday, you could have chose everywhere. You chose us. So that one day out of 365 that was your pick for barbecue, you decided Hoodoo Brown's the place where I want to go with my friends, with the people closest to me. So that's a milestone for that person. You know, when they look back, what'd you do? You know, everyone, you can count back in your head your last five birthdays, and if one of those celebrations is with us, we're forever in your brain, or we're forever in your mind. So we try to take those birthdays super seriously in any event, whether it's anniversaries, graduations, parties. It's like, you only get one of all those things. You only get one, you know, all the big ones, but no, you only get one 30-second birthday. So if you choose to use it with us, we want to do that. So,
and it's smart to really honor your people, and it's smart to just have fun with it. Everyone wants to have fun on their birthday, so why not go hard?
Yeah, so that's part of it. You want to have fun. I mean, we've got the good music playing. Like, there's a certain energy about the restaurant. And I was just, we had new hostesses training recently towards the end of the year, and I train them on a Tuesdays and Wednesdays night. We're open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday just for dinner, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday all day. And Tuesday, Wednesdays are nice. They're more mellow. It's like mostly locals. And on the weekends, it gets crazy with the out-of-towners. And I train her that day. I'm like, hey, we are a certain restaurant this day where there's a short wait. Everyone comes in. The place is pretty quiet. It's a mellow place. But it's like, I tell you, come 7 o'clock Saturday, this place is a madhouse. It's a zoo. And she's like, no, I know. I think, you know, we were pretty busy today. And like the waitress was like, oh, we're pretty busy. I was like, it's because there's, you know, three waitresses on. It was kind of busy. New hostess. On Saturday, you know, on a Wednesday, we have, you know, 12 people working. On a Saturday, there's like 30 people working because it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to the same girl on her after her first Saturday night and was like, okay, I know you said it's crazy and it's different, but it is, because what happens is everyone's traveling to get here. So I talk, and that was something that blew me off. And now it's like part of my life. Was like, I come up to your table and they're like, yeah, I drove from 20 minutes away, 30 minutes away, hour away, 90 minutes away, 2 hours away. Yeah. You see, that's something we see on social media. We talk, you know, bring it back to the beginning. It was like, you see people commenting on Tuesday. They're like, Saturday, at BBQ Cutie XOXO, you coming on Saturday? Like, yeah. Like, okay, Saturday. And you see them commenting back and forth all week. And then they're there and they're posting a picture on Saturday. Everyone plans to come on Saturday, so the place is crazy. It's full from the second we open the doors at 11:30 until there's no food or the line dissipates at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And we're cooking all day. We're, you know, as soon as there's space, we're cooking. And it's crazy, but the energy is good because somebody comes in. You guys come in. You're from out of town. You're like, we came here to eat hoodoo. And like, table 4, the wait's an hour. And you're like, okay, Well, it took us a while to get here. The next group comes in. It's like six people. They came from an hour and a half away. And they're like, all right, the wait's 90 minutes. They're like, all right, well, we didn't come here to not eat. So yeah. we'll be at the bar. We're going to grab a cocktail. And the thing. Next group comes in. It's like, the wait's 2 hours. And they're like, how is the wait 2 hours? I was like, well, I just told two parties the wait's 90 minutes. And they just looked me dead in the eyes and said, okay. So I can't tell, you know, that's yeah. You'll probably get in quicker. But I just told someone the wait would be 90 minutes, and they just scoffed and walked away. So, like, they were happy. And that's exciting. The people down here with the patience, I was like, this is what I've learned. Like, I see people online. I went to Tejas yesterday, Chalk Factory, yesterday in the morning. And it says, like, I think it even says on their T-shirt. I bought a T-shirt. It says, come early, eat well.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got there early. And then as I left, there's still a line of people. And we got there. We ate. I talked to the guys on the back, checked out the smokehouse, checked out the chocolatiers. I don't know what you call it, chocolate.
Yeah.
And which was awesome. And then I'm leaving. There's still people. And I was like, oh, yeah, we've been waiting for a while, but we can't wait. And I was like, I literally said, it was like, if you ever come up to Connecticut, they're like, I probably won't. I was like, probably right. But if you ever come up there, come see me, because you got the patience of a saint.
Nice.
And I need more people with patience. And that is a trait that, you know, it's a trait for the reason why the barbecue is good, because we have patience with it. It's patient the reason it's customers are happy, and it's all cool. So
we call our fans the meat men, the hashtag yep. meat men.
I love
that.
It.
And so we use that as a broad term. It's men and women. It's someone who might be just cooking on a little Weber grill, or it could be someone who's patiently cooking yep. for 12 hours. So we ask everyone, what's your message to the people out there cooking and eating and the real enthusiasts?
To the meat men and meat women around the world, I think what you have to remember is when you're cooking, you're not just cooking to eat. You're cooking to, you know, engage in people. You know, food is language to some, and use your food to tell your story and let other people tell their story. So anytime you're having a barbecue and you say, hey, you know, always give her the opportunity to say, you know, bring something if you like. Even if you make your world famous potato salad and they say they want to bring potato salad, let them bring it, because that's the dish that they say, this tells my story in the kitchen, in my life. So, and it could be because it's their grandma's recipe, it was her grandma's recipe, you know, but the way people use food is the best. I think it's the fastest way to learn about a person, and the way people express themselves. So let food tell the story of your life, and because food will be the story of your life as you use it, and you every barbecue, everything you do. So, you know, that's what I would like.
All right. You heard it from Chris.
I appreciate
Hooter Brown Barbecue. Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Also, to anyone listening, these guys just saw me in the parking lot at Houston Barbecue Festival, and they're like, hey, give me a minute. It's two of the nicest guys I've met here. I appreciate
whoop,
you
whoop.
Guys having me.
All right.
Thank you, man.
But sometimes these things come together. So I appreciate you guys having yep. me. And I hope you guys learn something about us, and I learn something about you, yeah. and we'll see what else we can learn about Houston barbecue while we're here. So.
Yeah, and all you meat men out there, check out Hoodoo Brown on yep. Instagram. They're killing it.
That's
you probably
very true.
Know their shirts, yeah. Brisket and Chill.
Brisket
probably
and Chill.
Those. Yeah.
Yeah, if you come find us at Hoodoo Brown Barbecue on Instagram, HOODOOBROWNBBQ at, you know, check us out.
Cool.
Follow us. Get those likes up.
All right. All
right.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you.
They call me the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. Hit on the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor.
This has been a production of Glencliff Media,
recorded live in Austin, Texas.
What a